Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
What's up, Wellspring? Everybody said good morning. Nice to see you guys. For those of you who don't know, my name is Trey Kelly. I am the pastor here. And we're in the middle of a series that we're calling Squad Goals. And I'm really excited about this series. Basically, we began it last week. And we kind of began wrestling with a question. And it's something that's pretty normal to everybody, right? Like, we all want to belong. We all want eventually to find a group where we feel comfortable. And I argued last week that if you call Wellspring home, we're all a squad. We're a group. We're a team. And one of the things that unites a group of people together, that unites a team, is their goals. It's where they're trying to go. It's what they want to do. It's what they want to accomplish. And so what we really hope to do through this series is to look at some of the things that unite us as a squad, that unite us as a team. Really, why is it that Wellspring Church even exists? Why do we do what we do? Why do we come together in this place? Why do we sing these songs? Why do we do anything that we do? And so last week, I did the best I could to explain to you what I consider is a kind of our ultimate squad goal. It's kind of the reason we exist more than anything else. As you came into our building today, you saw a big wall out there with a bunch of pictures, and right in the middle was a black piece of, I think it's cardboard, I don't know what it is, but there's a sign on it, and it says these words. It says, "To see those far from God become passionate followers of Jesus Christ." Now, that is Wellspring's ultimate squad goal. It's why we exist. It's because we think God has placed us here to help the people of Myrtle Beach that don't know Jesus fall passionately in love with Him and to have Him transform their life. Many of you here today are here because that has happened to you. It's either happened to you here or it happened to you somewhere else, and you're now connected with us here. And so when we sing songs that we just sang, like "In Christ Alone," you know, you're not just singing the words. You shout the words. You raise your hands because you've experienced that. You've experienced that Jesus and Jesus alone is the place to go to find your source of strength and your source of hope and your source of security. You have experienced that for yourself. And if you have experienced that here, then we have won, then we have succeeded, because that is why we exist. I shared with you a story of last week about me believing that God called me here and God called our church to breathe life into the dry bones of Myrtle Beach, into the people that you know, maybe the people that you live with, to the people that you work with, that desperately need a relationship with Jesus. They do, and they don't even know they need it. They don't know what's wrong. They know they can't find purpose, they can't find meaning, they can't find satisfaction, and they don't know why. Many of you have been in the same place, and now you do know why you couldn't find those things, and it was because you needed Jesus. And so that is our ultimate squad goal. But there are many ways we accomplish that goal. So starting today and for the rest of our series, I kind of want to help make sure you understand what it is we're doing. And if you're a guest today, like, you could not have picked a better Sunday to attend Wellspring, because you're going to very succinctly hear today what we think makes us different, what we think makes us unique, kind of our opportunity and what we bring to Myrtle Beach. And as we talk today, my hope is that you are going to be drawn in to what we are doing, and that you yourself are going to find that you have a desire to be a part of our squad, to be a part of our team. And the best way for me to kind of help you understand our squad goals, to help you understand kind of how we plan to accomplish this idea of seeing those far from God become passionate followers of Jesus Christ, I kind of have to begin with a story. And it's really a story about me, because for good or bad, God chose me to begin Wellspring, and God kind of birthed it in my heart. And as I was reflecting on this series and getting ready, it occurred to me that God had really been growing Wellspring in me my entire life. I think I've shared this before, but probably earliest memories I have, 3-4 years old, my family was a church family. I grew up in a family that taught me to love God and to love Jesus and to serve Him, but we were church people. Like, if the doors were open and the lights were on, we were there. Okay, that's just what you did. If it was Sunday morning and they had church, you went to church. If they had it on Sunday night, well, you went back on Sunday night. If they had something on Monday or Tuesday, well, you went to that. If they had a kids program after school, you went to that. And so I grew up in church. Like, I was in church my entire life. And again, I was blessed. It wasn't a bad church. I went to two churches growing up. They were both great churches. But church has always been a very important part of my life, my upbringing. I was in it all the time. And so from a very early age, I began to understand what I liked about the churches I attended and what kind of drew me to them. And I began to notice some of the things that maybe I didn't like quite as much. Notice there are no pews in here. Amen. That's right. Pews tend to bruise. And so, like that, I'm a preacher. I got to rhyme. I just got to do it. But so I was raised in church, and church was always an important part of my life. And then when I was a senior in high school, again, I've shared this story before. I grew up in, we moved to Florence, South Carolina. I was in the fourth grade. My senior year of high school, October of my senior year of high school, I was sitting on the second row, First Baptist Church, Florence, South Carolina, and my youth pastor was actually preaching that day. And so that's why I was sitting up front, because the youth always sat in the balcony, but he was preaching. He asked me to sit down front. I'm a loyal friend, so I sat down front. And I sat on the second row, though. The front row was reserved for, like, the deacons and, you know, nobody else. So you sat on the second row. And so I was sitting right there, and he preached a sermon on the rich young ruler. If you're familiar with the story from Jesus' life, it was about this man who came to Jesus and said, "Hey, Jesus, what must I do to be saved?" And Jesus said, "Well, you got to do this, you got to do this." And he said, "I've done all that. What else?" And he says, "Well, here's what you got to do. I want you to go and sell everything you have and come and follow me." And the rich young ruler went away sad because he wouldn't do it. He wouldn't give up what he had for what Jesus had. And he preached this sermon, and I listened to it, and then we closed with a hymn. It was a very traditional hymn. It's a hymn, if you grew up in a Baptist church, you've heard before. The hymn was, "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus." And as we sang this hymn, I can remember closing my eyes, because even back in that Baptist church, I was a little bit risky. And so I closed my eyes. I don't think I raised my hand, because I would have been scared too in a Baptist church. But I closed my eyes and I sang these words. I sang, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace." And as I sang those words, and as I'd heard that sermon, and as I sang those words, it was as if God spoke to me. It's as close to audibly speaking as he's ever done. And he said, "I want you to spend your life serving me. I want you to go into full-time ministry." And as I am prone to do when God says stunning things like that to me, I said, "Are you sure?" And over the next week of conversations with my parents and my pastor and a few friends, God confirmed that in my life. And the next Sunday, I went forward and shared it with our church, and pretty much since then, my life's goal has been to be in ministry. And looking back now, I know that it was at that moment that God was beginning to birth Wellspring in my heart. From that moment, I began working in churches. I worked at a church in college. When I went to seminary in Fort Worth, Texas, I worked at a church there. That's where I met Brandon Thomas, who spoke a few weeks ago, and he asked me to be on his team to help launch Keystone Church, which was a church unlike anything I'd ever been a part of before. Every church I'd ever been a part of talked about trying to reach people that didn't know Jesus. Keystone was the first one that I felt like did something about it. We were a brand new church. We did set up and tear down. We met in a middle school. We had engaging environments for kids. We tried to make it fun for kids. We did things in our main room that we tried to invite people in. We actually spoke to people who didn't know it about Jesus. We let people dress like this instead of wearing a suit, and it was pretty amazing. And God just began to open my eyes to all the possibilities of church. He began to show me what church can do and what church can be, because obviously I love church. I think church is very important. You've heard me say, I think the church is the hope of the world. And just a side note, maybe you know people who will say something like this. They will say, "I love Jesus, but I don't like his church." I love Jesus, I hate the church. Let me explain to you why that doesn't work. That's like telling your best friend, hey man, I love you, but I hate your wife. I love you, but I'm not going to be having anything to do with her. Now, even if you do hate your best friend's wife, you don't say it, do you? But let me help you. If you've had a bad church experience, I understand. People have had bad church experiences. I'm not saying all churches are perfect. All churches are great. I'm saying the church is the hope of the world. Because Jesus decided to put his mission in the hands of his people. To put his hands of the church. To put his hands on the church. And to say, here you go. You guys accomplished my purpose. So, if you have a bad church experience, I understand. I've had bad church experiences. We've all had bad church experiences. I've also had bad meals. I didn't stop eating. I've had bad haircuts. I didn't stop getting my hair cut. I've had bad dates. Didn't stop dating. So, if you're here today and you've had a bad church experience, I understand. We all have. But I'm thrilled you're here today. And my hope is that today you can begin to maybe let go of some of the bad church experiences and embrace the fact, as TJ said, we're a little bit different. We clap for the offering, folks. Maybe you came in, people were just like overwhelmingly, disarmingly nice to you. And you're a little afraid we might be a cult. You'll have to figure that out for yourself. No. Actually, what I'm hoping to share with you today is going to explain a little bit about why we are the way that we are. But anyway, I grew up, I loved church. I still love church. And I loved Keystone. I loved serving at that church because it felt like this is what we're called to do. We're called to be an organization that genuinely goes after people that don't know God. And that's what we were doing. And that's what my wife and I thought we would do for the rest of our lives in Keller, Texas. We had told our families, we're here. We're not coming back. Abandon all hope. We're going to live here forever. We're going to be Texans now. Well, God had other plans. And on April 15th, 2008, I was sitting in another church, this time a church in Birmingham, Alabama, and I was listening to a pastor speak. I was at a pastor's conference. And the pastor who was speaking, I found out later, actually grew up right here in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. His name is Pastor Dino Rizzo. And he was preaching from a text that if you attended Wellspring before or ever wonder where the Wellspring name came from, we're about to show you. He was preaching from this text, Proverbs 4:23, that says, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Wellspring means source. He was saying, guard your heart, for it's the source of life. And he had a really interesting perspective on this verse. I'd never heard this perspective taught before because it was at a pastor's conference. And he was teaching the pastors, and he was saying, hey, pastors, you've got to guard your heart. You've got to guard the things God's created you to care about. You've got to guard your personality. You've got to guard the unique things that God's put in you because that's going to be the source of your ministry. That's going to be the source of the life God wants to birth out of what he's going to do through you. See, he was arguing that God pairs a pastor with a place and a people. Say it again. God pairs a pastor with a place and a people. And if you spend your life as a pastor trying to be the next Andy Stanley, or trying to be the next Joel Osteen, or trying to be the next T.D. Jakes or Stephen Furtick, you are going to miss out on what God has actually created you to be. And I'm sitting there like, this is fascinating. Yes, this is really good for Brandon. Yeah, Brandon, yeah, this is good. And as I was sitting there listening, once again, Holy Spirit, as close to audible as he's ever spoken to me, he said these words. I've put that in you, and it's time to go. Once again, excuse me, I've put that in you, it's time to go. I have no idea what else Pastor Dino Rizzo said that day because I was consumed. I don't know if you've ever had this experience where you think God may be speaking to you and you're like, is this God? Is this the burrito I had for lunch? What's happening here? And And what I've learned to do in my life is when I'm not sure if it's God or not, what I'll tend to do is I'll begin to talk to God. I'll say, all right, God, I'm going to, if this thought is of you, I'm going to chase this thought. I'm going to follow this thought. I'm going to see where it leads. And so I chased the thought. I was like, all right, God, if you're actually calling me right now to leave Keystone Church, if you're telling me that you've created me to actually be the senior pastor of a church, if you want me to go start a new church, well, obviously, in light of what we're talking about here, you're going to tell me where to go, because this is all about pairing a pastor with a place and a people. And I began to think about some places, and as I began to think about some places on the West Coast, because that was where people were planting churches at the time, and as I was thinking it was as if the Holy Spirit just put a map in my brain. I can still see it. I can see the image. It was a map of South Carolina, red star, and it said Myrtle Beach. And he said, Myrtle Beach, South Carolina is where you're going. And again, I said, whoa, what? God, I know one person in Myrtle Beach. I know one person. Yeah, I grew up about an hour, hour and a half away, but I know one person in Myrtle Beach. And he said, yeah, you're gonna meet some more people. That's where I want you to go. So I went home, next couple of days, talked to my wife about it. Long story short, we obviously decided to move here. We agreed that this is what God was calling us to do. Shared with my pastor, Brandon Thomas. He agreed. That was on April 15th. By June 18th, we were here. We moved very fast. I don't encourage that, by the way. I was a little too fast. Heads were spinning. But we knew God had called us here. And as you can see, we named the church Wellspring Church, because that was how God had called us here. We named it Wellspring because we felt, even then, that God was going to use us to be a source of new life. But the reason I tell you that story is because when God called me by saying, above all else, guard your heart, he gave me a heads up of what was going to be the secret sauce of Wellspring. He gave me a heads up and to say, look, man, you can't go there and try to do what everybody else is doing. You can't go there and try to be somebody else. For good or for bad, I've called you to go there. You've got to be you. And as your church figures out who they are, and as your church figures out what sets it apart, it's going to be those things that are going to be the source of all the life change that's going to come through what I want to do through Wellspring Church. And so what I wanted to do is I want to share with you what I believe are five things that are the heart of Wellspring Church. We call these things our core values. And right now we have five of them. I say right now because we could have more. In fact, there's a sixth core value right now that I'm kind of wrestling with God about. As to whether or not it's going to rise to a level of a core value. But right now we have five. And if you're new today, I want to share with you the five things that I feel like Wellspring has to guard above all else to make sure that we continue to be who God wants us to be. If you've been around for forever and you've heard these core values, guess what? It's never enough. You can always hear them more because I have a challenge for you at the end of today. So what I want to do is I'm going to quickly walk through these core values. I want to quickly walk through our heart. Because if you're a part of Wellspring, I want you to partner with me in this squad in guarding this, in making sure this never goes away, because this is the source of life. And if you're new today and God has called you to this church, or you know, maybe you're going to discover Jesus here, I am believing that one of these even today is going to speak directly to you. And I'm not saying it's going to change your life today. I'm saying it's just going to start something. It's going to plant a little seed. It's going to be a source of the growth and the new life that God eventually wants to accomplish in you and through you. So let's turn to our core values. Our first core value, many of you have heard this and we're very passionate about it. First core value is that we will be known for what we are for. Back into that, not what we're against. We will be known for what we are for. I told you that I grew up in church and I love church. There were some things I didn't like about the church. One of the things I didn't like about my church is that we complained a lot. We protested a lot. We boycotted a lot. We spent a lot of time telling people that didn't follow God that they were acting like they didn't follow God. And they would kind of look at us and go, well, yeah, we don't believe in your God. Why would we obey? And we never got that. We never got that. Well, at Wellspring, we get that. We will be known for what we are for, not what we are against. We don't spend time chastising people that don't follow God for not following God. My Bible, when Jesus was talking to his disciples, he says, by this all men will know you're my disciples, by your love for one another, not by how well you make your point, not for how strong your argument is, not for now how on point your Facebook forwarding game is. is by your love for other people. If you participated in Love Week a few weeks ago, that's what Wellspring wants to be known for. See, here's what we want to be known for in Myrtle Beach. We want Myrtle Beach to look at us and say, they believe some weird stuff. They believe that a man died and came back to life. I can't wrap my brain around that. But they sure are kind. They sure are loving. They sure are generous. They sure are honest. I don't know if I want to become a Christian, but man, I hope my daughter marries one. I don't know if I want to become a Christian, but I hope my lawyer's one. Because they're so honest and they're so kind and so giving. That is what I want Wellspring to be known for. We will be known for what we are for. Now, the second core value kind of comes out of the first. The reason we take this approach is because we are rescued people who rescue people. Notice I said rescued people. Not people who pulled themselves up by their bootstraps. Not people who earned their way in. Not who people who worked hard and fixed it. People who are rescued. See, it's very important when you're thinking about your relationship with Jesus never to take credit for it. Because you were not on the cross. We can't do anything to deserve God's love or his favor or his forgiveness. We can only receive it as a gift. And so we are rescued people. We remind ourselves of that. We did nothing to deserve this, nothing to earn this. Because when you remember that, it is much easier to give it away to other people. See, when you begin to think you had something to do with your salvation, you begin to think that you're good enough and you give enough and you serve enough and you earned it, then you begin to hold back from sharing that with other people because they haven't earned it. That's why we say we are rescued people who rescue people. God rescued us, and now it is our job to go and rescue other people. I say this all the time. We believe people without a relationship with Jesus are dying. Maybe they're dead. And we believe they're going to go to hell. We believe they're going to spend eternity separated from God. Well, when we say that is we think they are drowning. It is not our job to critique their swimming technique. It's our job to get them in the boat. And if you want to do that, it takes a different approach. And our third core value begins to explain our approach. We invite people to belong before they believe. We invite people at Wellspring to belong before they believe. Here's what that means. That means if it's your very first time and you just walk through our doors today, you belong here. You are a part of us. There is no us. There is no them. There is no class. There are no levels. There are no you have to do a certain thing to be a part of us. None of that. We believe in removing any and all barriers to entry here at Wellspring Church. You don't have to take a class. You don't have to prove something. You can be a part of us. That means you can serve here. That means you can join in here. That means you can be a part of our groups. That means you can be a part of what we are doing. And the reason we believe that is because that's what Jesus did. Jesus allowed his disciples to belong to his group for 3 years. He took care of them. He taught them. On the night he was arrested, they all abandoned him. They belonged before they believed. They did not believe until they watched him die and come back to life. Then they said, okay, yeah, he's right. It took 3 years. And so that's why we don't have barriers to entry here. That's why we allow anyone and everyone to be a part of what we are doing. That's why we allow people to open doors and to park cars and to help you find a seat. And they might be a little rough around the edges, but they might not be Christian yet, and that's okay. Because they are here. Heck, our band, like half of them are barely saved. Barely. If you ever spend any time with me and TJ, you're like, they're barely saved too. See, here's why. We are convinced that as you belong, you will begin to believe. We are convinced that the more time you spend belonging to a group of Christ followers, the more likely it is you yourself will begin to believe in Christ and follow him with your life. I have never understood the idea of telling outsiders you have to become an insider before you can come in the door. You you have to behave like you've been a Christian your entire life before you become a Christian if you want to be a part of our group. That makes no sense. And so we say, belong before you believe, because as you belong before you believe, you're going to run into other people who are just like you who said, yeah, man, I didn't used to believe in Jesus. And then I came here, I started doing this. I was just like you. I understand it. You begin to hear other people's stories. You begin to realize that everybody's kind of like you and everybody has their own struggles. And hey, Jesus is real and he's really changing lives. And before you know it, your life has been transformed. And it all happens because we have a different approach. We allow people to belong before they believe. And there's a secret to that. And it leads to our fourth core value, which is this: we believe circles are better than rows. See, right now you're sitting in a row, and rows are safe. Rows allow you to sit back, cross your arms, tilt your head, and say, impress me. Rows allow you to take in the information and then do whatever you want with it. You can walk out the store and never change. Now, we put a lot of effort into our rows, into this environment, but our goal here is to get you past this row and into a circle. Our goal is to get you into a group where you can belong even before you believe, because we know it's in that circle, it's in that group where life change happens. When you begin to actually meet people who are having the same struggles you have, people who are having the same struggle you had a year ago, people who can give you encouragement, people that you can encourage. See, some of you think you have nothing to offer, and it's just because Satan's lied to you. Because if your life has gone from death into life, a miracle has happened inside of you, and someone can benefit from that knowledge. Someone needs to hear your story. Because God's doing a miracle in you. And someone needs to hear what God's doing in you, because they don't have the faith he can do it in them. And as hearing what he's doing through you, it's going to give them the strength and the courage to do it themselves. And that only happens in a circle. Now, we have all kinds of circles here at Wellspring. We have serving circles. We have men's Bible studies. We have women's Bible studies. We have community group circles. Our students are in circles. If you drop your children off in our children's environments, our children are in circles. Because we fundamentally believe that circles are better than rows. Because it is in that circle where you share, they share, and God himself is able to radically transform you from the inside out. I know you may not fully understand that yet. Come back next week. Because all we're going to be talking about next week, it's how Jesus works through a circle. Because he does. We are passionate about the fact that we believe circles are better than rows. And then our last core value, TJ kind of mentioned it earlier, we get to give. We get to give. Now, we mean that two ways here at Wellspring. Number one, we mean we get to give. We are blessed to be a blessing. God's blessing and God's change and God's transformation and God's Holy Spirit power can't stop in you. It is given to you to move through you to change the world around you. We get so that we can give. We are blessed to be a blessing. Also, we mean we get to give. We don't have to give. It's not an obligation. We get to do it. And the reason we get to do it is because we are rescued people. We did none of this on our own strength. God saved us. So everything we get to do in his name and on his behalf is a gift and a blessing and a privilege. And that includes returning back to him a tiny portion of what he gives us. He blesses us with everything we have, and out of obedience, he asks us to return back to him a small portion to keep our focus on him, not our stuff, and we get to do that. That's why we clap. We celebrate that. We get to do these things. So, that's our heart. That's the heart of Wellspring Church. That's what makes us tick. Those are the things that we are passionate about. Those are the things that we filter every single decision through. And if you've been attending Wellspring for a while, if you found your home here, my bet is that at least one, if not multiples of those, are the reasons you stuck. There was just something about them that moved your heart. There was just something about them that you identified with. Or if you're a guest today, my bet is one of those stuck out. One of those you're like, yes. Like you kind of wanted to say amen, but you weren't sure if you could say amen. Like you didn't know what kind of church we were, you know, but you wanted to go, yes, that's right. And so what I want to do again is I want to walk back through them. And what I want to do is I want to ask you, I want you to think about, if you've been at Wellspring for a while, if you're new, which one of these really sticks out? Because whichever one of it is, right, I want you to know and understand what's happening. That is the heart of our church being a source of life in you. That is literally a fulfillment of a promise God gave over 2,000 years ago. And a promise God gave to me on April 15th, 2008, as he was beginning to develop the heart of Wellspring Church. So let me ask you, which one is it? Which one of the core values is it? Is it that we will be known for what we're for? Is that the one that got you? Were you just so relieved and so excited to be a part of a place that you weren't gonna have to like roll your eyes in on social media, and you weren't gonna have to explain to your friends that don't know God, and that you weren't gonna have to like not invite some people because you didn't know how they'd be treated? Was that it? Was it that we will be known for what we're for? Or was it that we are rescued people who rescue people? Was it the simple idea that we get that God's done this? We didn't do anything to deserve it. We didn't do anything to earn it. And all we can do now is go out and give what we've received. Maybe it was that we invite people to belong before they believe. Maybe you came to Wellspring and you just needed to belong. You didn't know what you believed. You just needed a place where people would be happy when you showed up. You just needed a place where you could come and feel safe and heal and just relax in the presence of Jesus and just feel like you were a part of a community. Maybe for you it was that we believe circles are better than rows. I know for many of you this was the one. You found your purpose in serving. You found your purpose in a small group. You found your purpose in your men's Bible study or your women's Bible study. It was just the emphasis on circles, the emphasis on groups. Some of you students, you have found lifelong friendships through this. And for some of you, it was that we get to give because God had a hold of your heart, but he didn't have a hold of your finances. And you are holding those back. And by giving him this last piece, you have opened him up. You've opened yourself up for God to radically transform you. Look, I don't know which one it was, but I'd be willing to bet at least one of them. Maybe more. And if you're a guest today, I'd be willing to bet that one of these is just screaming to you right now. And I want you to understand, it's not because of me, it's not because of our church. It's because we simply decided, all right, God, we're going to be who you've created us to be. And as we've done that, we've become a wellspring of life. We have become a source of life. As we said last week, this squad is all about breathing life. So let me challenge you and we're done. If these have changed your life, and if you can look around and see that they are the heart of this church and that this church is changing lives, what would happen if rather than just embracing these values in here, what if you took them out there? What if you and your family decided to make our squad goals your squad goals? What if your family decided we will be known for what we are for? We are rescued people who rescue people, and we invite people to belong before they believe. Because we know circles are better than rows. And we know that we get to give. What would happen in your family if you made that heart your heart? What would happen at work if you made that heart your heart? Students, what would happen in your schools? What would happen amongst your friends? What would happen among your sports teams? What would happen in your neighborhoods? What would happen in your communities if you decided to say, this heart is going to become our heart and we're going to guard it? I bet you'd be different than other people. I bet other people would notice. And I bet God would use it as a source of life. See, our squad goal isn't that you attend Wellspring. Our squad goal is that you become a Wellspring. That you become a source of life with your friends and your family and your neighbors and your coworkers and in your communities. And God told us the way we do that is to guard our heart. To guard the uniqueness God has put in us. And if you're a part of this squad, this team, we have our goals. So what would happen if our squad goals became your squad goals? It would probably require some change, right? It would probably require some change in your behavior and some change in some attitudes and some change in some habits. Well, guess what? We're only halfway through the series. So we're going to turn next week. And for the next 2 weeks, I want to talk about some of the mechanisms God's given his squad to help change us and to help mold us and shape us into the people he's created us to be, into the most effective squad possible. So come back next week, and I'm going to talk about the number one way God molds and shapes his squad to help them guard their heart so that we can be the most effective wellspring in Myrtle Beach, so that we can be the most effective source of life that God wants us to be. In the meantime, I want you to celebrate what God has done in you. I want you to celebrate what God has done to you. I want you to celebrate what God has done through you. I want you to begin to imagine what's going to happen over the next few weeks and months as you begin to make our goals your goals, and as you begin to embrace who God has made you to be, as you begin to become the source of the life change we talk about every single week, because I believe God wants to do it through you. So in a moment, I'm going to pray, and then we're going to close with a rally. We're going to close with a party song. We're going to close with excitement, because for some of you today, this is a reminder of what God's done in your life. And anytime you remember the change that's happened in your life, it shouldn't be like this. Well, that's fantastic. Yes. It should be exciting because a miracle has happened. And we celebrate miracles loud. And we celebrate miracles with energy. And we celebrate the miracles of today by trusting God that they're just a glimpse of the miracles that are to come, that the miracles that will come through each and every one of us saying, God, we agree. We will guard our heart. We will become the men and women you want us to be, and we will be the source of new life here and around the world. Let me pray for you. Father, we love you so much. We thank you that you are just so clear with us, that you have given us these goals, and you have given us this design for how to transform this region. Lord, I just pray right now that you remind us of all the amazing things you've done in us, all the amazing things you've done to us, and give us a glimpse of all the things you want to do through us. As we all come together, as we unite as a team, as we unite as a squad, as we pursue your son, as we chase his goals, and as we breathe life into Myrtle Beach. Lord, may today be a turning point as we partner with you to guard our hearts and to be wellsprings of life all over the Grand Strand. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to the Wellspring Church podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit wellspringchurch.tv.